On Wednesday nights, we've been most lately dealing with the greatest spiritual warfare known to man. And quickly, over here in Romans chapter 7, let's just like to wrap up this this thought tonight. And over here in chapter 7, I trust you're familiar with this, that the Apostle Paul says in this hallmark passage verse and verse number 24, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. He in him is the power. He's the one that's going to deliver us, even from this flesh." And so then with the mind, that's how he refers to it. And that reference to the mind in the scripture, we can see the mind, the heart, the soul, that part of you that is you, that part of us and how we're put together and is where we think, where we I don't mean this necessarily. It is negative at times where we connive things, but we can connive things that are good things. And I know connive has a negative connotation, but where we think, where we chew things over, where we reason things out, where we listen to this or we listen to that about input, where it is where what we believe, okay? And so he says, "With the mind I serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin." So in the flesh wants to go the same old way that it went, but the heart and the mind, the new man, the Spirit of God within affecting that, and he's using mind as that good part, that righteous part, that wants to serve the Lord. And so we see this struggle that is within. In Ephesians chapter 6, we took a look at this, a spiritual armor to put on. In Ephesians chapter 6, we just it tells about our wrestling, and we've taken a look at that. And he says here, verse number 13, "Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God. Standing is the call, withstanding in the evil day, having done all to stand." Okay, and it gives all the different spiritual armor that's there. And he says, "Put this on, taking the shield of faith that will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked." We've talked about fiery darts. We're talking about the wiles of the devil that are brought out here. And so we need to, verse number 11, put on the whole armor of God. So we've got to take this to us. It genders a question. It genders a question in this consideration about this way that we are. And I had a discussion about this a couple years ago with a brother, another pastor, and it's relative to spiritual sanctification. I think the leaning of the brother was is he didn't believe it. He didn't believe in spiritual sanctification. And that's a subject for, that's kind of a different angle and another subject for another time. But the thing is the new man in you fully educated about the things of the Lord when you're saved? See, we kind of have this thing that we are tempted, and not that it's a fault, but our thinking is that we say, well, the new man is the Spirit of God living within, and so we would be wrong to find a fault with the Spirit of God living within. So we don't want to go, we might be tempted to not go and say, well, the Spirit of God living within is young, because we find a fault with the Lord. But do we not spiritually grow? Isn't that interesting? The Spirit of God lives within us, but do we know things in the Bible and how to apply them to our lives before we learn them? So we don't. We've got to learn them, don't we? Isn't that interesting? Is there anything that the Spirit of God doesn't know? But the Spirit of God lives within us. See, there's a thing that's there, and that's a subject for another time too, but we do grow. We're told by the brethren in the Scriptures. Our Lord says to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord. We've got to grow up spiritually. Do we need to grow up in the old man? We've got enough of that to do plenty. We don't need any more of it. We need to put it down, as we found, right? But we do need to grow spiritually. So when we're saved, Are we saved? Yes. The Spirit of God lives within. Does the Spirit of God within and its effect on the man, do we not need to grow? We need to grow, don't we? There's no lacking in the Lord. We are saved, but we do need to put on the armor, don't we? What if we don't put in the armor? We'll be ill-equipped for the spiritual warfare, okay? It's interesting to think about it in that way. Anyway, we went on and we took a look about Satan and his work. He's the tempter of mankind. He is the one that tempts us, but we can never say as the children of God, the devil made me do it. Can't do it. Now, he tempts us to do things. He parades a bunch of junk in front of us. But this old flesh, James tells us that our sin comes from within us when we think about things and in our mind, in our heart, in our soul, and we a fiery dart of the wicked, the wiles of the devil come down right down in here inside of us, and we say, okay, am I going to do this or this or this? And as the children of God, we reckon out inside what we're going to do, and we do. Sometimes we don't do well. Sometimes we do obey the Lord and we follow him. Okay? And so we see about Satan's work and his temptation. And then we took a look about, as we got to understanding about this greatest spiritual warfare known to man, that it is known by only by the saved, by the Lord Jesus Christ. Because see, I've got an old man and a new man inside of me, and right here in my mind and in my heart, with all these inputs coming in, and with this old drag of this old flesh that Paul talks about, speaks about the wretched man that he's dragging around. Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? And historically, if it is true, we understand the body of death torture used by the Roman government is they would take a dead man and tie it to a living man, and they would carry the dead man around until he fell off. The body of death torture. And if that is true, that's the historical reference. That's the picture of what's going on with us. Can you imagine? We don't want to imagine, do we, about what a dead carcass on tied to you, limb to limb, would do to the living. But that's a picture of where we're at. Okay. And so this here where it speaks to us in Ephesians 12, that we might be able to in this warfare, principalities, powers, and rulers of darkness of this world. Where does all that start? What happens down in the heart of men, doesn't it? I mean, it happens, the principalities, men that desire to rule, the unmeek, they want to have power over people, they want to dominate in different ways. They're affected by Satan, they're affected in their own nature, but it all started right down in here in the heart. Powers. Rulers of darkness. Satan is there with the unsaved, and as save for the hedge of the Lord, he's just like somebody throwing coal on a fire in a furnace. I mean, that's what he does. But the individual, Napoleon sought to do what he did in his heart. Hitler sought to do what he did in his heart. There could be an argument made that some of these despots, the well-known Chinese despot, you can name them, a Nero. They sought to do these things in their heart, and it could well be argued that some of them were even possessed of Satan. But they were responsible for their thinking and what they did and their stand before God and their choices that they made. And where did it start? It started right down in here, right down inside of them and their being. So that we see is what we wrestle against. And as we take a look at our own lives, we see that those things can be we have that in us as these things come our way, as our history is there in our hearts and minds as we carry it. The lust and the desire of the flesh and what the flesh just wants to do to satisfy itself. The child of God knows this spiritual warfare. Do you have a spiritual warfare? If you don't have a spiritual warfare going on within, if you don't have a struggle going on within to some extent, then maybe check out to see if you're saved. Don't want to cause doubt for anybody. But if, you know, if there is no struggle, if there is no grief when you fail and when you sin, do you know that you sin? Every child of God does sin. Do you and I know the chastisement of the Lord upon us? Every child will have chastisement from God. It goes from the still small voice all the way to death. Somewhere in here, there's going to be some chastisement. There's going to be rebuke from the Lord for the child. Is there ever anything? Because we all fail. We are all chastised, Hebrews tells us. And so the greatest spiritual warfare known to man is indeed within the saved person. A couple things that I want us just to look at tonight, and a point that I want us to get to in closing up this thought, is just some more supportive scripture in regards to it. Some things to consider that will help us understand it. All these things that we've looked at so far are true. In Romans chapter 7, what's the scripture say here? This is the Apostle Paul. As I mentioned to you earlier in earlier messages, it's interesting that the Lord used Paul. What child of God would ever say anything bad or think bad about the Apostle Paul? That we would say that there's a fault with the Apostle Paul. You know, Paul saved, called of God to be an apostle, used of the Lord to write all the church epistles. We would never think to accuse Paul of anything. But he says, "Oh, wretched man that I am." Okay? So he's writing this as a saved man. And what's he say? Romans chapter 7, verse number 14. He says here, "For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin." He says that as a saved man, doesn't he? He says that and writes that, of course, under the inspiration of the Lord, as a man decades down the road having been an apostle and a child of God. And so we see here, it's reinforced for us that we have this old man that is carnal, sold under sin, can never be reformed. Can be controlled, is to be mortified, which means to make dead, to be made still, to not allow to rise up and be in control. But this old mortal flesh is a rebel against God. And the man in the scripture, in this New Testament age that we live in, says that about himself. So we ought to understand about ourselves, shouldn't we? Okay? Physically, chapter 8, verse number 7. What's it say here? "Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be." The carnal mind. So when you and I get over there on that carnal man rail and we start thinking like that carnal man, what the world inputs, what Satan inputs, what we get through the ear gate and through the eye gate, what we've got of our history and our past, and we get over there on that carnal man rail, we're over there in the hatred with God realm of our existence. We've got to watch out. We've got to not go there. We've got to avoid that place. It's not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. See the spiritual warfare? The physical is against the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Verse number 14. "But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." See, it's only the spiritual, that only the spirit can have discernment about things. And we are in one body. We've talked about that. We're one person. We cannot split ourselves apart. We are here all together. And which one's going to be in control? Which one's going to be in control? Well, we've got instruction. We've got some of that instruction already that we've seen, that the new man needs to be in control and the Spirit of God living within needs to be in control. And it's only by the Spirit of God within us that we can discern the Word and the will and the way of God. And what a blessing we have in that. Amen? That the Creator of all and God Almighty has shared with we who are saved, the children of God, has shared with us to know His will, way, and word. Because you know what? The old man, the carnal man, doesn't want it, doesn't want to know about it, says, stop, I don't want to hear it anymore. I just want to do what I want to do, what makes me happy, what tastes good, what feels good, what looks good, that I can enjoy. So, physically, we need to watch out. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. And even for the child of God, it is still the truth, that natural part. They are foolishness to him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. See, when you and I have a fiery dart come our way, when we have the wile of the devil, the wile of the devil come our way, lands right here in our thinking and our hearing and in our seeing, how do we discern what we're going to do? If we do it with the old man, we're going to follow right after the way that Satan would love for us to follow. Our testimony is hurt. We sin against our Lord. Remember what happens with the children of God that we can do? We can grieve the Spirit that lives within. We can quench the Spirit. Hot piece of iron, red hot, water thrown on it. Quench. Following after this way. Makes sense. More enjoyable. Less grief. You remember how it is with the different kinds of ground? You remember the different kinds of ground in the parable? The hard road pack. Satan carries off the seed there before it can sprout up and anything happens. Then there's that's on the stony ground. And what happens on the stony ground is that, what did the Lord Jesus say? When there comes difficulty and persecution because of the word, it dries up and fades away. Because see, can't just take following after what the Lord says in His word. Why? And there's no spirit there. And just to, I'm just going to go ahead and take the easy way. See, it's all connected. It's all connected. So that's our physical state. But, and things about the body, and I've preached about this in times past. The best thing that can happen to our body is indeed that the body of sin, what's best for it is death and mortification. In this same chapter, Romans chapter 8, I'm sorry, back to that. Verse number 13. Romans 8:13, for if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. So that's the best thing for the body, is to put down the thinking of the body, the flesh, the carnal. And Colossians chapter 3, all these, most of this written in church epistles, right here where you and I are today. Colossians chapter 3, verse number 5. What's the best thing for the flesh, for the body? Verse number 5 of chapter 3 of Colossians. Mortify therefore your members. That means your eyes and your ears and your hands and your feet, which are upon the earth. Mortify them. Same word as in verse number 3, dead. Okay? Or connected to it. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Mortified. Mortified. It's a spiritual warfare that we have within. 1 Corinthians 9:27. But I keep my under my body and bring it into subjection, which is another word for enslave, lest that by any means when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Paul says, I need to do this every day. I can be used of the Lord and used of the Lord and used of the Lord and then fall tomorrow and become a castaway. Loss of salvation? No. But testimony ruined. follow after the flesh. Get over here on this carnal rail that we have within us. And I just tear up and mess up a testimony that it may have been years or decades. We've heard of that, haven't we? We've heard of that and maybe seen that in our brothers and sisters. It's a grievous thing. It can happen to you and me. We need to live today for our Lord. We need to live and follow that of the Spirit that is within us. I keep under my body and bring it in subjection, lest by any means when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Also, Romans 6:6. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him. What do you know about crucifixion? Anybody crucified dies, don't they? Our Lord died. He gave his life. A crucifixion is unto death. Cursed is every man that hangeth on a tree. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, with Jesus, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. That's a good verse, isn't it? The body of sin. Oh, Brother Jim, is the Lord purporting suicide? No, self-murder is never right. But we take this flesh and put it down and what it naturally thinks, what the world inputs to it, what Satan inputs to it through the eye gate and the ear gate. And we take it and of our history, our past that we've been saved from, and we put all that, what the flesh wants to do there, down and live to the Lord. Live in the Lord. Take this old flesh and make it a slave to the Spirit of God, that the body of sin might be destroyed. See, it's only the new man. It's only the new man that can don, put on the armor of God, isn't it? Because see, we, downstairs in the basement, we just don't have a bunch of helmets and shields and swords, do we? And when we're talking, we see that in Ephesians chapter 6. Is Ephesians chapter 6 talking about you and I putting on some true physical armor? We do that for the children, VBS and Sunday school, that they might be able to see the word picture that is. But it's not a physical armor, is it? It's a spiritual armor. And you know what? The old carnal man, he doesn't get it, doesn't want it, sees no purpose in it. But the new man is blessed by it. The new man grows in it. The new man is helped by it. Spiritual warfare. The old man says, I don't want any armor. Don't talk to me about armor. I just want to go and do whatever. The new man says, yes, put it on. The spiritual armor is not for the old man, but for the new. It is not physical armor, as we've said, but spiritual. And it is real. It is real. It is real armor. Even though it's spiritual, it is real, real armor, Ephesians chapter 6. We as the children of God, we need to look to that passage and we need to ask the Lord to help us in that. What it describes there, it is real armor. And it lets us fend off the wiles of the devil. Now, take a look at each one of those pieces and do that. Do that in your own study. See how that's parsed out there. Everyone has their purpose. Darts of the wicked that comes in there. It comes in there to us, to our hearts and our mind, that wile of the devil, that fiery dart of the wicked. And with that armor, with the word of God, we can discern with the Spirit of God, fed by the word of God and fellowship with our Lord. We can discern what would please our Lord. We need to put it on, as it tells us there. And we've read in verse number 11, Ephesians 6, put on the whole armor of God. What if you don't put it on? You won't be equipped. The fiery dart will come and just make that carnal decision. Wile of the devil will pass on over and said, just make that carnal decision. That's where everybody else is going. That's what the world is doing. That's what's comfortable. That's what's easy. But is that what the Lord wants? No, the Spirit of the Lord is within saying, you're quenching me. You're grieving me. Why? Because you're not doing what I say in my word plain to you. The word of God, that is part of that armor. We need to not be ignorant. Not ignorant of what our Lord has said and not ignorant of the devices of Satan. as we've touched on. Ephesians 6:11, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. There's some promises here if you and I will do so. An aside, I just wanted to touch upon this. In John chapter 16, and it's a church context, it's given to you and me. Spiritual warfare, greatest spiritual warfare known to man. It's within the child of God. But then there is a spiritual warfare that we engage in as one of the Lord's churches. There is a spiritual warfare. There are those powers and those principalities. Again, the greatest is within. Okay, and we're going to bring that to a conclusion here in a moment. The greatest is within. Because that is where the decision, that's where the purpose, that's where the pursuit is decided for each and every one of us individually. So then as we follow the Lord and we do what the Lord wants us to do, we have this that the Lord gave the first church, and is so for you and me, that we find here in John 16, verse number 7. Let's read it. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, Jesus speaking, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin, and reprove the world of righteousness, and reprove the world of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and ye see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. How's the Spirit going to do that? Through the church. What's the church made of? Two buildings and a parsonage. You and me. Okay, so here we are. We're facing the world. We faced the world this week. 4 days already. We were here a lot of the time on Sunday, so we were together. And so that in that sweet that when we're here together, we don't have to face that stuff of the world. It is a blessing. It's a respite. It is a help. It's a recharge. It's really wonderful what the Lord's provided for us in that. But then Monday you had to go out and face it. Sunday afternoon maybe you faced it. And were you used of the Lord to do this reproving work by your obedience? I'm not even opening your mouth. But the same Spirit lives within you and me that is the same work that He does comforter-wise in the church over us, in us. But if we get over here on this carnal rail, as I'm referring to it, that we all can be subject to, or that we all have within us, are we doing any of this Spirit work? No. Because the old man, the carnal man, doesn't know a lick about it. Doesn't want it. The Spirit of God will not do this work directly with His own voice uttered up and down the byways of the world. But the new man must be in control within you and me, in the entire person, yielded to the Lord to be used of Him to do this work of the Spirit of God that's given to the Lord's churches. John 14:12. Jesus says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And did you hear what the Lord Jesus said? Verily, verily. And when you see that, it's very, very important. You and I cannot take and mark that off of our list. When Jesus says, verily, verily, it is double important. He's saying, truly, truly, verily, verily, Jesus says to you and me, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, that's the saved, isn't it? What's the context of this chapter? Church. The works that I do, he shall do also. We'll do the same as Jesus. And greater works than these shall he do. And I think that what that's talking about the most is that Jesus said he was only sent to the house of Israel. But you know what? The Lord's church, institution-wise, has gone around the globe. Has gone and gone in spite of persecution, opposition, resistance. The word of the Lord is going to Port Hedland, Amen? And we have a part in that. Greater works. I mean, Jesus worked miracles. Is he talking about us doing? He raised people from the dead prolifically. Is he talking about that? No, the miracles for the time that we might know that Jesus is the Savior, and for the time that there wasn't the New Testament Scriptures. We've got the New Testament Scriptures. How could there be greater works? Well, the Word of God going farther. The Lord's churches propagating and more churches that were made. Because I go unto my Father, he says, I'm going to leave you here to do a work. And then in the same chapter, in John 14, verse number 16, let's read. John 14, let me get caught up, verse number 16. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. Why? Because the world is carnal. Because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him. Why? By virtue of being saved. For he dwelleth in you and shall be in you in this comforting work that he will do in the church. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. The Lord Jesus is no less with Olmsted Baptist Church than he was that first church. Now, granted, we can't lay our hand on him. We can't touch him. But we don't have a second class presence of the Lord Jesus Christ with us. We don't. And if you think that way, then I tell you what, undo that thinking, because we don't. The Comforter has come in the Lord Jesus Christ's stead, and the Comforter, that Holy Spirit work of the Comforter in Olmsted Baptist Church is not less. He's the same, and he is a he, okay? He's a he. Okay, you ready? If you don't hear anything else tonight, I want you to hear this. You ready? If the spiritual battle within you and me individually is not won, then there is no hope for the spiritual battle without. Hear that? Think about that. If the spiritual battle within you and I is not won with the promises, with the equipping, with the Word of God, we could never have a thought of being engaged in the spiritual battle without. Now, it may take a little while for you to chew on it, think about that and all that, but you and I cannot be engaged in the spiritual battle without if we don't have the spiritual battle within. One. Why? Because we go around in this carnal body, and we've got to have it in submission and subjection to the Spirit of God living within. And only then, see, I use my old man to speak. I use my old man to read the Word of God. I use you and I use the being that we are within this old flesh to pray unto our Lord, to carry ourselves to services, to go and open our mouths to be a witness of Jesus Christ unto others. If you and I don't have the spiritual battle won within, we will never be engaged in the spiritual battle without. Think about it. We've got to obey in the body. In the body, in the heart, in the mind, and soul. All the commands our Lord Jesus has given us to obey in our bodies are important. If you love me, keep my commandments. Greatest spiritual warfare known to man. It's within the person that has been saved. And we need not despair. Our Lord has equipped us and he's made us promises. Our Lord does all things well. Maybe you might be brought in thinking to despair. And please don't despair. Because see, remember what it says, what the Scripture says in 2 Corinthians 10, verses 3 through 6. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, even the ones that are within us. Casting down imaginations, casting down every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. We've got it. We need to avail ourselves to it. Verse 6, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Have we failed? Yeah, we failed. We failed. You know how to revenge that failure? Go ahead and obey. From now on, pick it up and go obey. Don't wallow around in our past failure. Ask the Lord to forgive us and move on. Because until our Lord Jesus comes, there's another day. There's another hour. There's another moment. Ask the Lord, repent before the Lord in our failures, and then pick it up and hear what He says, and follow the way of the Spirit and the new man within us, and put down the old man. Get over here on that rail that is the Lord, that way that is the Lord, that way of spiritual discernment and growth, and follow Him. Revenge our disobedience by our obedience in this flesh. Remember our Lord Jesus, the Apostle Paul writes in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And it's not rhetoric. It's true. Bend our heart and our desire to those things. Ephesians 3, verses 20 and 21. Now to Him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. But do we ask? Do we think about that spiritual work that we've been called to? And we have introspection, a time of introspection that it becomes immediate as we begin to come upon the Lord's Supper. But do we introspect the day after the Lord's Supper? We need to. And ask our Lord, He says, and unto Him that is able to do exceedingly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto Him be glory in the church. Did you hear that? By Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Glory in the church. Why? How? By obedience, by a spiritual people walking after the will, way, and word of the Lord. Putting down the old man and putting down the carnal and getting off that carnal rail in our individual lives and following the Lord and follow what He's given us to obey Him in this flesh and winning the spiritual warfare within the greatest known to man and then engaging in the spiritual warfare that is without. Or do we just live lives for ourselves? We just live life to please ourselves. Our Lord has given us all things to enjoy. When I say that, I'm not saying that cannot be enjoyment in life. We're to enjoy the things of life, but we, in all of that, need to be pursuing what our Lord has given us to do. All of it there together. As it says there in Ephesians 6:10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. We cannot do it on our own. If you're here and you're not saved, a few things I want to mention to you. You have no spiritual warfare within. All you know is that of the carnality and the flesh and maybe self-survival and just self-desire and what makes sense to you. And we pray for you. We pray that the Lord will help you to see your need and help you to see that you need Christ Jesus. And these things, this subject to the carnal man, to the person that is unsaved, indeed, I tell you right off the bat, it's a turnoff. It's a turnoff. Just because of what the Lord said, the carnal man just doesn't receive the things of God. Looks like there's no advantage to that. Why would I even want to fiddle with another struggle? I've got enough struggles in life. But I tell you what, in your comfort where you are and where you're at right now, you are very comfortable. And listen, you have your depravity, you have your sins, but it just doesn't go and stop right there. Along with those sins come the condemnation from God that goes with them. And you cannot escape that condemnation, coming damnation because of your disobedience against God. You have your soul, the most precious possession that you have. And in the state that you are in, unbelieving, unrepentant before Christ, you're on your way to hell in the lake of fire. And I don't tell you that because I hate you. I tell you that because I love you. Because you need to be rescued from that. Satan, in a sense, is your friend. Because Satan hates mankind. He hates you. And he just assumes see every man, every woman, every boy, and every girl just go off into hell in their sins. He wants the destruction of mankind. And so, you being the way you are suits him just fine. And you can be used of him too. It's a very precarious situation. But as the scripture says, but God. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful that the Lord tells us all this terribleness and all this wretchedness of man indeed, the old man and the carnality of man. But those two words ring out in the scripture, but God. God declares that sinners like you are the ones he sent his son to save. He tells the truth, but he sent his son to be a savior for sinners just like you and me. He commands you to come to him in repentance of your sins and your wickedness and believe on his son and his death, burial, and resurrection for the salvation of your soul. His way of salvation. It is our Lord in the scripture that says, why will you die? The song that we sing that is from the scripture, a rock, a fountain, a cross, a deliverance. Why will you die? It's our Lord's idea saying, come, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Come unto our Lord on his terms, not your own. And then come join us in this warfare. Come join us in the warfare for the glory of our Lord God Almighty. We point you to our Lord Jesus Christ.